Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number two of Josh and Swain is here. Thank you for being with us on this Friday afternoon. It is a football Friday. You have high school state championship games going on, including Alcoa with a halftime lead on East Nashville, 31-20. West will take on Page tonight in a 5A state championship game. We do have okay, your score is updated. I need to refresh. We have a touchdown on the board for East Nashville, so 31-26 midway through the third quarter would be the update there. I thought that was a long halftime.
There you go. See that button right there, Josh?
Mm.
It's a refresh button. I thought you was tech savvy. What happened, man?
You know the story of young whippersnapper Josh Ward producing for Sports Talk years ago. This is before iPhone and higher speed internet. coming back from a break, John asked me to give a quick Major League Baseball opening day score update. Very excited. Hey, here's an opportunity to get to go on the air. And I had auto refresh on. And at the time, auto refresh was not automatically quick.
Yeah.
So on the air, start to do the score update. Screen goes blank. I tried to go based on memory of what the scores were and got a few right and a few wrong. It's a great moment.
It happens. Youth and inexperience. Mm. I hear that's a really good excuse to use.
Yeah, but I was 1% better by my next update, I can tell you.
That is not a good excuse to use.
I snapped. I cleared.
That is even worse.
Clear for takeoff right here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with their many different options they have for you, and you're not going to come in and deal with haggling over price of a vehicle. They have a great selection here of Gladiators, Wranglers, Ram trucks. That includes heavy duty that you can find right here. No cost lifetime warranty available for you and under MSRP pricing in a huge showroom. You'll find a setup here until 3 o'clock at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. 225 Callahan Drive is the address, just off the Callahan exit off I-75. You want to hand out some awards? We'll get some feedback on this. Tell Swain where he was wrong. 865-656-9900.
Yeah, there's one I'm still like, I'm struggling to field one of our award winners. What category?
Go through the categories that we will cover, and then we will hand out awards. So these are awards from the 2022 Tennessee football season, which does have a game to go, but in a bowl game, and there will be some opt-outs to pay attention to. So the season that was 2022 is complete. Tennessee went 10-2. What awards are we going to hand out today?
MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Breakthrough. So a player that really had a breakthrough performance this season, maybe didn't do a lot last year, but for whatever reason, man, broke through this year. Most improved. I mean, you can look at that as breakthrough, but it's different. A player that just really got better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe was on the second team last year. Maybe people left him for dead as not being a contributor to the football program, but they really broke through this year and was most improved. Offensive MVP and then a defensive MVP. You know, just like Little League, man. Just like Little League. Sometimes you have Little Johnny, he might come home with three different trophies, and all the parents are all mad, jealous. Don't get mad. Get better genes, okay? Johnny deserves three trophies, all right? So we may have that situation.
You still use two rooms for all your trophies?
My trophies are in a
consolidate
box in a garage
okay.
right now. So, no, just a little part of the garage, a little box.
So,
my certificates, my participation awards. Those are in a folder, in the file folder.
It's good to keep the memories going.
Yeah. I participated, so I get a trophy too. Just kidding.
Why don't we start with MVP? Who you got here?
That's easy right there, man. That's Hendo Cinco. That's Hendon Hooker. MVP, most valuable player. Not only was he dynamic on the football field, His play helped everyone, helped the defense, put the defense in really good positions where the opposing offense had to take chances, had to throw the ball, giving Tennessee's defense opportunity to kind of pin their ears back and go after the passer. Also, we saw an LSU game and a Florida game, opposing offenses having to go forward on fourth down, being super aggressive and failing, giving the ball right back to Hendon in the offense. Hendon's play really, really put a lot of pressure on the opponents this year. He's a quarterback. He's a leader. He, at one point, was a Heisman favorite. It's Hendon Hooker, man. MVP.
Totally agree. There will be some that we disagree on. Might go with the secondary option from you on a couple of spots just so that players can be represented. Not going to do that here. It's Hendon Hooker as Tennessee's MVP. Before we continue on, we had a text asking about Hendon and saying there should be more conversation about him and the Heisman, and it wouldn't be fair for him to be snubbed because of an injury late in the season. That I agree with. Let's see if he gets to New York or not. So if he doesn't, I'll have an issue with it. We'll see who all does get to go. This is as wide open of a Heisman race in the final 2 to 3 weeks of the season as I can remember. But let's see first. He is a finalist for the Maxwell Award, one of three finalists there. So let's see if Hendon gets that invite to New York, which I believe he deserves. Back to the awards for Tennessee. You want to go Offensive Player of the Year?
Yep.
Is the Offensive Player of the Year the MVP, or is it somebody else, Jason Swain?
No, I'm going with someone else, man. We can't let little Jimmy go home with three trophies. So in this case, Hendon gets one trophy, okay?
Okay.
Because a lot of touchdown passes that Hendon had went to Jalin Hyatt. So I'm going with Jalin Hyatt as the offensive MVP. Now, there's another player on offense that will be a Sunday player that – when we need to run the ball a certain direction, we ran the ball to the right. And that's also Darnell Wright. So we're going to have to spend a little bit more money and give co-offensive player of the year and give it one to Hyatt and one to Darnell Wright. There's extra money in the Booster Club fund.
Did you just hand out a second offensive MVP award?
Co. You can do that. Steve McNair and Peyton Manning won it in the NFL 2004. You can do that.
Okay.
This is not honorable mention power poll, Josh. Two trophies. We got extra money in the Booster Club. We sold some extra candy bars, some extra coupon books, a couple different car washes. We got extra money. We can buy another trophy.
Okay. Just making sure.
We good over here.
Okay. I handed mine out solely to Jalin Hyatt, but you're right. Darnell Wright, huge year for Tennessee. When Will Anderson was coming, Dallas Turner was coming, you needed protection. That wasn't just Darnell Wright, of course, but he made money in those games against LSU and against Alabama there in the early and middle part of the season.
For sure.
Defensive MVP from Jason Swain.
Man, this is a tough one.
This is tough.
I think when you look at the different levels of the defense, you can start a secondary, and that's pretty easy. I don't think we will go anyone there. Then you go linebacker. I was very impressed with Ann Beasley's development and how he got better from last year to this year. Did a really, really good job. But I got to go Byron Young because we're talking five sacks. And when you look at the stats of Tennessee defenders, he had five. The next closest was 2.5 from, Tyler Barron. So, excuse me, Roman Harrison had three. So, I mean, two more sacks than the second on the football team. So, I got to go with Byron Young.
Okay, so we've agreed all the way through here so far. My backup option.
We won't for the next one, I don't think.
By the way, was Amari Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah, Amari Thomas had a really good game against Florida, and he's been really good too. Those guys, man, they may not have the sack numbers, but you go and watch them play, and
yeah,
man, they're keeping linebackers clean and moving the pocket. Amari Thomas did a really, really good job this year.
Okay, so candidacy for Amari Thomas, but we agree defensive MVP for Tennessee, Byron Young. Breakthrough, you want to do breakthrough next? Breakthrough player of the year for Tennessee.
We got some extra money in the Booster Club fund. So I got two trophies here. I'm going with Princeton Fant and Aaron Beasley for breakthrough. Princeton Fant, remember the bowl game. He did not have the best bowl game, okay? The play at the end offensively, had a couple drops in the game, had a catch and run against Purdue, long catch and run, but had a couple drops, and then the block at the end where Jalen Wright didn't get in, that wasn't the best finish. This year, my man has thrown a touchdown pass. He has played fullback and rushed for a touchdown. He's caught passes as a tight end, very versatile. I got to go with Princeton Fant, breakthrough player. And then also Aaron Beasley, man.
Mm-hmm.
He really, really broke through, I think, this year and has done really well. He leads the team in tackles at 64.
So my breakthrough player here, I have not given out an award to Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright is my breakthrough here. He was already a starter and a good player for Tennessee.
That's a good one.
But he broke through to high-level status.
Yeah, that's a good one.
For Tennessee, helping lead an offensive line group that was much improved from last year to this year, especially in pass protection. And I think Darnell was a huge part of that, literally and figuratively. So Princeton Fant on offense and Aaron Beasley on defense from Swain. And I'll recognize Darnell Wright for what he did at tackle. Most improved for Tennessee's football team from 21 to 22.
Cooper Mays.
All right.
I'm going Cooper Mays. Here's why. Cooper Mays was looked at as being too small when he first came here to University of Tennessee. And was too small when he was being recruited at Catholic. He was always compared to Cade. Cade's big old boy. Cooper, they looked at him like he was a runt. And Cooper, all he has done is gotten better and better. He's tough as nails.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt against Vanderbilt. We all knew he wasn't coming out the game. He anchors one of the best offensive line units in the country. And the reason why this Tennessee offense took the step that they took from last year to this year. And when you are the quarterback, yes, you're going to get the credit. But Kay Mays is quarterback of that offensive line. To run this type of system offensively, you better have a center that's smart, that's tough. He's been durable. Remember last year, had the ankle, was banged up and hurt, in and out of the lineup. My man Cooper, durable this year and very, very productive. So I'm going with Cooper Mays, most improved.
That's probably an underappreciated aspect of the season, the health and availability of Cooper all season long. Because if you take him out, you take out his ability, you start to shuffle that offensive line. Jerome Carvin's probably moving over. That was really important for Tennessee. They didn't have Cooper all last season. They missed him when he was not available.
It got weird on the sideline in the Vanderbilt game
mm-hmm.
in the second half because Jerome Carvin hurt his ankle, it looked like, on one of the touchdown runs
yep.
the first half. You go to the locker room at halftime. It's already cold. It's rainy and really hard to keep that thing loose. So mm-hmm. it stiffened up on him a little bit, and I saw him trying to warm up for the first possession of the third quarter. He just couldn't go, man. He could not go. So then you saw some backups at offensive line. Cooper gets hurt, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute, because Jerome is the backup center. So we're talking about Parker Ball was warming up on the sideline, but Cooper shook it off, and then he was back out there for the rest of the game. But that would have been interesting right there with that offensive line having three backups in at one point, but Cooper went back out there.
Probably another reason that they're happy to have the regular season complete and a little bit of a break to not Correct. Have to worry the next week about what you do in that situation. My most improved player, Swain, I won't go into too much detail as we didn't mention him a moment ago, Amari Thomas. He was a guy that I thought of as a defensive player of the year candidate. Most improved, though, from last year having to replace Matthew Butler. How much time do we spend months January through August talking about Matthew Butler off to the NFL, played yep. a lot of snaps yep. last year, the interior of that defensive line, somebody has to emerge. And during that time, we said, Amari Thomas has to step up this year,
yep.
and he did it. So my most improved guy would be Amari Thomas on the defensive line. So we both went into...
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Interior lineman for most improved.
Yeah, Amari has a case to corner me in the parking lot after the banquet and go, hey, where's my trophy?
All these co-awards you're handing out, and Amari didn't get a mention from you.
I know, man.
Yeah. Don't worry, Amari. I got you.
I feel bad. But Josh got you. Got your back.
Who did we snub? MVP winners, both awarded Hendon Hooker. Offensive MVP, both said Jalin Hyatt. You also had Darnell on your offensive MVP award list. Defensive MVP, we both went Byron Young. Breakthrough, Swain says Aaron Beasley on defense and Princeton Fant on offense. I went with Darnell Wright. Most improved, Cooper Mays from Swain, Amari Thomas from Josh.
Let me highlight somebody else too, man. How about Jalin Wright, man, leading the team in rushing?
Yeah.
I mean, he has a chance to
step up.
Yeah, he has a chance to go for 1,000 yards. A big bowl game. I mean, he has another game like he had against Vanderbilt. He's over 1,000 yards, and he's second string. Think about this too. Fall camp, he was limited.
Mm-hmm.
Had, I want to say, a strained groin or a hamstring or something.
Yeah, remember Lynn J. Dixon joined the team? Remember that? That was this year.
No, I don't remember that. But I'm not going to give him an award or anything.
Sure.
But, like, wow, Jalin Wright really, really did a really good job from last year and the start of fall camp being banged up and being second team. I mean, he's a couple yards away, from a couple hundred yards away from going for over 1,000.
Why not go get it against – maybe Tulane. We'll find out this weekend. We'll come back on Josh and Swain at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on a football Friday afternoon. Good U.S. men's national team news ahead of tomorrow's match. We'll get you that when we come back, and more football talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 99.1 The Sports Animal here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram until 3 o'clock. Christian Pulisic cleared to play tomorrow for the U.S. against the Netherlands. 9 o'clock start tomorrow morning, so coffee and soccer for you tomorrow with Christian Pulisic cleared. As he's been saying, hey, I'm going to do everything I can to play, and we'll see if he can go all the way, but cleared to play tomorrow for the U.S., trying to advance.
Steel cojones.
In this case, might be.
How about Mississippi State receiver? This is Rare Thomas. In the transfer portal or announcing plans to enter the portal, 62 catches, careers, 878 yards, and 2 touchdowns, 2 seasons at Mississippi State. This is going to be fun, man. This is going to be fun watching players enter the portal and thinking about them wearing orange.
Yeah, do you have a notepad? You just write it down real quick?
No, every good player, like, I have a mental picture of them like wearing orange.
Mm-hmm.
So like you see all the photoshops when a coach picks a different school or when a player picks a different team in the NFL, and like within the minute that player or coach is rocking a new team's color, you're like, wait, how'd I do that so well? I do that mentally every time there's a really good player enter the portal. I imagine them with smoky gray uniforms and all black and the white helmet with the orange power tee. I don't think about the orange helmet stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Not many are, at least with positive thoughts, which is, I'm sure, what your goal is. The quarterback market got deeper today. So Notre Dame quarterback Drew Pine has entered the transfer portal. Went 8-2 as a starter for Notre Dame, 22 touchdowns, 6 picks. Then Yurkovich, the Boston College quarterback.
We might play against one of those dudes. Who knows? But
bring both of them.
That is not a position I don't think Tennessee is going to address in the portal. I mean, who wants to sign up to be a backup? Joe Milton, you got Nico coming in. And we know NIL-wise, Nico's roundabout numbers. Like, why are you setting yourself up for that?
Receivers and DBs. That's where Jason Swain is.
Nah, I need – tight end, I need
sure.
running back,
uh-huh.
I need edge rusher, I need
yep.
linebacker,
yep.
I need a lot of stuff. But I don't need quarterback. It's hard to keep more than two really good quarterbacks on your roster. It's hard to do that today.
Yep, you were right. As some teams are seeing today.
Especially older quarterbacks.
Yep.
So you're asking for Tennessee, if you want a quarterback in the portal, you're asking for two veterans and a freshman phenom quarterback that has a huge NIL deal. Like, come on now. That's not realistic. That's not going to happen.
You think that's Nico that has that deal? We'll come back.
Just saying.
90 minutes to go here on Josh and Swain. Will Shelton, Game Day on RockyTop.com, reflecting on the 22 season and looking ahead now that the offseason really does begin with the bowl game to come as well. We'll talk about it and invite you to be a part of the show this afternoon as well at 865-656-9900. Today at North Knox, Chrysler Dodge, Jeep Ram on Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Oh, breaking news. Breaking news, Josh Ward. I won the face-off today. Continue.
Is that the report?
That's the report, man.
Okay.
According to sources. Oh, man, I wish people could see your face right now. Priceless.
Austin Priceless on the show yesterday. If you want to go back and podcast that, check it out as some Wally Pipping was taking place on the show. We have 90 minutes to go here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Josh and Swain. And we say hello right now to Will Shelton, Game Day on RockyTop.com. Will, from all the comments you see, how fans have reacted over the last few days, how's everybody holding up with the playoff ranking and now some of the maneuvering that is being reported on with New York's six bowls for the next few days?
Yeah, after such a just the regular season where every week was better and better and better, and even when you lost to Georgia, certainly some great moments there with Missouri, then we've been on the roller coaster here at really the South Carolina thing, obviously followed by the defense giving you a shutout at Vanderbilt. And then I think Tennessee fans, for the most part, everybody was kind of braced for Alabama to be ahead of Tennessee in the rankings. Everybody just kind of assumed that was going to happen, and you had all those arguments ready. But certainly a unique situation for all of us together to discover this Rose Bowl clause from Kirk Herbstreit on a live broadcast when you're already kind of braced for bad news, and then you hear that and you start doing the math on that thing. So, yeah, it's unfortunate just because Clemson in the Orange Bowl, which is no guarantee, North Carolina could beat them tomorrow. Who knows? We'll see. But Clemson in the Orange Bowl is certainly, if you're Tennessee, the matchup you want most. Even if they flip that poll tomorrow, I think most Tennessee fans would rather play Clemson in the Orange Bowl than play Kansas State in the Sugar Bowl. So even if Bama was ranked ahead of you, you'd still kind of get a better outcome. But now, yeah, it's a mess. So it'll be interesting to me if UCF wins that game against Tulane. I have no idea how much Josh Heupel and Danny White would enjoy that, but I do think Tennessee fans would enjoy that certainly more than Tulane. UCF is a Power 5 team essentially now. I mean, they're a Big 12 team going into next year, so that's at least kind of a silver lining if you get that a little bit and it ends up being that way. But, yeah, things have turned a lot more roller coastery here the last couple days than certainly what we were used to this year.
Who is your most improved player on this football team this season?
You know, certainly there's plenty of easy – Jalin Hyatt's a great answer. Everybody's got that. But I think, especially looking ahead, what about Ramel Keaton? Because Ramel Keaton is a guy – you had no idea you were going to need him as much as you needed him. Tennessee, this coaching staff, runs a really tight wide receiver rotation. You had two guys you felt like could be good. You bring in Brew McCoy. And it's not like that Ramel Keaton just kept it going. – He made incredible plays. You know, two of the biggest wins of the season, he makes a spectacular catch in that Florida game on a crucial drive at the end of the first half. And then he gets the first catch on the bang-bang sequence against Alabama at the end of regulation. So that's somebody where when you start looking around at, okay, what might next year's team look like when you got guys that have got extra COVID year stuff, if they want to use it, that to me is someone who helps you believe that even if Jalin Hyatt goes pro, you know, Cedric Tillman expected to do that. This is a group that can get production out of wide receivers, even if you weren't planning on counting on those guys at the start of the year. So he, to me, is a great example. And I just think it's great for guys that were here in the Jeremy Pruitt stuff to stay with the team and then really excel. I think that's just a great story all around.
We're talking to Will Shelton, Game Day on RockyTop.com. Swain and I both chose Byron Young is our defensive MVP when we were giving out awards for the season earlier this hour. Neither one of us said Jeremy Banks. Now, there's the South Carolina game. You could also say that his absence would be a statement for his MVP candidacy on the field, but his absence would also maybe negate part of that conversation. How would you view that part of it? A defense that was flawed this season, but also stepped up in different games as well.
I think you could almost give a collective defensive MVP to Tennessee run defense, which would include Jeremy Banks, like whoever you want to put in that mix. These guys were really, really good at this. Omari Thomas in particular, when we talk about most improved guys, like guys that showed improvement, young guys that showed improvement, like you want to see freshmen turning into more developed sophomores and all that stuff. But just also a bunch of guys that, again, some of them Jeremy Pruitt guys, some of them transfers, guys that maybe nobody was overly excited about in August, that collectively that group, Tennessee was really, really good at stopping the run for large portions of the year. And again, I know the South Carolina game colors everything. And like you said, with Banks as well, but coming into the year, I think there was still a lot of conversation about Tennessee as, well, we'll just have to outscore everybody. But this team really...
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Really made some teams one-dimensional, really got a ton of crucial short yards, fourth down stops, especially in that LSU game that came in part from teams feeling like they could just line up and get a yard or get 2 yards against Tennessee's run game. So that to me, again, we're looking at what's sustainable, what can be something that in the future we might say, all right, Rodney Garner and these guys can do a great job helping stuff teams without maybe having 2 5-stars at defensive tackle or whatever the case may be. So Banks is a part of that for sure. Linebackers that did a good job that made tackles, Aaron Beasley and Juwan Mitchell part of that too. But that to me is a big story, again, that hopefully you're going to see that replicated in Tennessee next year.
What do you make of Tennessee basketball's defense so far? Have you got a chance to kind of look at their numbers versus other teams in college basketball during this early part of the season?
Yeah, I think there, too, when we talk about sustainability, Barnes and these guys are a huge example of that really going right. So Tennessee's whole identity and everything there for a couple of years is the Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield that were really good, really good offensive basketball teams. And then you had that next two-year kind of gap where Tennessee was really good defensively, but a lot of that was Eve Pons. Like, he was and still is, to me, the best individual defender that Tennessee has had in a way of – I watched that guy every possession. You were almost drawn to see where he was, even when his guy didn't have the ball. So for them to go from, you know, pretty good defensive teams to really good defensive team with one spectacular defender to lose that guy, and then now somehow to come out and at least in the early going, just be better than all these other teams. You know, think about all these other Tennessee teams, going back to the Konzo Martin teams, Bruce Pearl's team that went the farthest, 2010, that was his best defensive team. They were really good on the interior with Chisholm and Brian Williams and all those guys. And at least statistically, without Josiah on the floor for the most part, this Tennessee team is significantly better than all of those groups defensively. So let's see, you know, in the COVID year, we saw Tennessee jump out really quickly with a lot of defense. They went to Missouri and played so great defensively. And then it kind of got shaky after that. But again, that was a COVID year. I think a lot of that's unique. It's not new information, but your defense can show up for you every night. So when you got guys that are trying to find their shot, when you got Vescovi that's trying to shoot himself out of something, all that stuff, their defense is better than let's at least just start with better than anything we've seen a Tennessee team put on the floor. And we've seen pretty good defense on the floor with a number of different coaching staffs here. So yeah, again, that's if that's going to show up for you every night, Tennessee's going to have a chance to win every single game that they play.
Will, what is going on right now at GameDayOnRockyTop.com?
We had the full win total machine for the whole season is in a chart on a piece we did earlier this week. Just good to see and remember, again, we're riding a roller coaster. the bowl stuff may get frustrating in the next 48 hours. The South Carolina thing still frustrating, all that. But in preseason, fans predicted this team to win 8.03 games. In week two, after Georgia blew out Oregon and all that stuff, fans' prediction when Tennessee was going to Pittsburgh, fans projected this team to win 7.93 games, which is, gun to your head, 7-5 was more likely than 9-3. So to see all that and see at the end that, yeah, South Carolina had all that, but like this team just excelled in ways that I think none of us could have predicted. So it was a lot of fun to put that on our site. And then again, when we talk about basketball, in what's been just a historic stretch for the athletic department in the last 5 years, this basketball team, if they continue to play defense this way, like we talked about, Tennessee's never been a one seed in the NCAA tournament. And whenever anyone wants to make the point about, oh, Barnes and March and all that, the best way to alleviate that is to get as high up the bracket as possible. So this team, if they keep defending already in some of the advanced stat stuff, Tennessee projects like a one seed. So it's early and all that, but this team has got the pieces to do that, which would be continuing to make really, really positive history for Tennessee's athletic department.
Go check out Game Day on RockyTop.com, a free read for Tennessee fans to check out. Will, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
Will Shelton joining us, as all guests do, on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. So, Wayne, we're hanging out at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram today. We're here in the showroom. Got a Rubicon right behind you. Big old Wagoneer with the red bow in front of us. You need help closing the door there?
There we go. All I need is the keys. I need the front door to open. And it's sweet, too. Look at that room in the back. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd let you ride in that with the Bears hoodie on.
Why not?
You got to change that out.
Why not? I'm representing for my Bears.
Somebody has to.
Rich coming from a Raider fan. Rich. Some chocolate fudge right there, man. Mint chocolate fudge for Christmas. That's Rich, Josh.
Is that your go-to? Let's see. Chicago Bears 3-9 on a 5-game losing streak.
Yep.
The Las Vegas Raiders 4-7 on a 2-game winning streak.
Hey, man. Brag about being one game better than the rebuilding Bears with a second-year quarterback and a first-year coach and a team that has traded all the best players and stocked for the future.
Correction. 1.5 games better.
Excuse me, all-pro wide receiver. You went out and got Josh McDaniels. This is supposed to be the year. Got that brand-new, squeaky-clean stadium. Nothing to show for it, though. But, hey, whatever.
You know what we have? Momentum. Momentum into our next segment of Josh and Swain. One more to go this hour with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on a Football Friday afternoon state championship update. Looks like we have another title coming to East Tennessee. We'll tell you about it coming up next here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. This is Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us. Could Alcoa High School leave some for the rest of the schools in the state there, Jason Swain?
Oh, there's plenty to go around.
There are for the other classifications. Alcoa, a 3A state champion again, 45-26 the final over East Nashville. How about it? Alcoa High School, that's now 8 straight state championships and 21 total for the Tornadoes.
Never gets old either. Never gets old.
Nope.
New generation of Tornadoes. In the ring.
Yep. So. Blowing through the state one more time.
That's right.
So congratulations to Alcoa with the state championship just wrapped up a few minutes ago. We continue here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Easy to find us right off the I-75 Callahan Drive exit. 225 Callahan Drive is the address. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Appreciate you being patient with us on the phone lines as well as we say hello to Jay. Jay, good afternoon. You're on Josh and Swain.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up, Jay?
What's up? So what do we think, boys? Are Tennessee fans going to feed – is it going to feed more into this conspiracy theory that everyone hates us when Jalin Hyatt doesn't get the Biletnikoff Award when he clearly has the best stats of anybody? Or are they going to finally give us an award?
Well, we're going to earn an award because Hyatt, I think, has earned the award. But if he does not win, then that certainly will feed into the conspiracy theory that everyone hates Tennessee, which I don't buy into. But hard to slow down that theory if Hyatt does not win.
I mean, he has less catches than, yep. Or he has less catch or more catch less catches than Marvin Harrison and more yards and touchdowns.
Correct. Higher so yards per catch.
And played a tougher strength of schedule, correct?
Correct. Had 5 touchdowns in 1 game against Alabama. That game alone, they should have brought him the Biletnikoff Award in the locker room with Peyton and the cigars.
Well, Swain, people like your best friend Buckeye Terry are using that as a negative against him.
That he scored 5 touchdowns in a game against Alabama?
Yeah, they're bad. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of the comments I see are
what
like.
Sense does that make?
I don't know, but they're saying, "Oh, his stats are inflated. He just had one really good game against Bama, and you know that's why you know Marvin Harrison was more consistent and that kind of thing."
You take away the 200 yards, he still has 13. He would still have what? Over 1,000 yards. He would still have 10
exactly.
touchdowns, double digits. I mean.
Yep.
And his yards per catch would still be high. So we look at the Heisman Trophy and we say, all right, where's that Heisman moment? But that was Hyatt's Biletnikoff moment, that game against Alabama. He absolutely stole the show and was – his performance was the best on the team outside of Hendon Hooker. And the whole nation was like, dang, that's Jalen Hyatt, man.
Yeah.
He took over. And one of the most watched televised games of college – this college football season. So, it's Hyatt. He should win it.
Well, I agree. And I've seen the argument saying, well, you know, his touchdowns were against busted coverages.
Some of them.
Well, that's
yeah,
not
–
some of them were, not all of them. But
so
he should be penalized if we have a good play caller?
Nope. He should not be. No. He should not be at all.
Yeah, I don't understand that. So, I just don't understand that. But, guys, before I get off here, y'all were mentioning the transfer portal. I work down here in Georgia. I actually saw that tight end at Shorter College that Tennessee's after. I've actually seen him play in person, and he is a stud of a player. I remember watching him thinking, what in the world is this kid doing playing at Shorter? He is every bit of 6'7". And looks like he just lives in the weight room. I mean, and they just – nobody could stop him.
Sign him up.
I would love to get – I would love if Tennessee got him. I mean, he would be – I mean, that kid's a future NFL player. So, I hope we can get him, guys. I'll get off here, though. See you.
Thank you. I mean, I think if you get him, you can still get another tight end possibly that is a really good player from a school that actually produced. Because think about it. A lot of these guys in the portal, they're in the portal for a reason. They can't get on the field at their current place. But if you maybe get a guy from Shorter, then you can go out and get a tight end that just wants to play in a better offense and maybe wants to get a better NIL deal that could have stayed where he was and still be the starter.
Is it funny that he goes to Shorter and he's 6'7"?
I mean, it's funny to guys who love dad jokes.
Okay.
So I think you probably thought it was awesome. But I did notice. I did notice that, too. I also noticed that the receiver down in Florida, Shorter, declared for the NFL draft.
I saw that.
And
yep.
He didn't have the year Jalen Hyde had. So I'm kind of like,
Yeah. Hope he wins the award this year because.
You know what's crazy? Tennessee has been known as wide receiver U, but Jalen Hyde, if he wins the Biletnikoff, will be the first and only.
That is wild.
That is crazy to me.
Let's get Hitch's call on Josh and Swain. Hitch, good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Hey, good call today, guys. I've enjoyed the calls especially. Tell me if I'm wrong, right? Or could we be back in the picture on going to the championship game? Is there any hope? I just turned it on now.
The playoff?
Radio,
playoff?
Yeah. No.
Playoff?
Not this year.
Well, I thought I heard somebody say something on there, but I guess I didn't, so that's okay. There was one other thing I was going to ask you guys.
You got Hitch. What you got? What you got?
I forgot what I was going to say to you guys.
Hitch, were you wondering just how Jason Swain won the faceoff today? Because I was as surprised as you.
I was surprised myself, but Fane is a formidable foe, so I kind of understand that, guys.
Well, Hitch, we appreciate your call. If you think back, call Joel. He'll pass it along to us. But it's great to hear from you as always.
Go hit the text box, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Hitch. 865-656-9900 to be a part of the show.
Playoffs? No, that I don't see that happening.
No. Could Tennessee jump Alabama? Could they rethink their position after this weekend?
Yeah.
Because neither team plays, as you're aware.
Yeah. The closest I think we get to the playoffs is Josh Heupel recruiting at the Blue Cross Bowl. That's about the closest we're going to get.
Yep.
We had opportunities.
But, by the way, I don't really believe Alabama's a player for it either.
No, they shouldn't be. I mean,
I think as long as TCU doesn't get smashed.
Yeah, they'll be in with one loss.
They would have a chance to be in with one loss.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the playoff committee well, that's pretty smart in how they put the four teams, because if those teams win this weekend, it would be all conference champions in the playoff, because you get a lot of complaints from people outside the SEC that you have teams that did not win a conference championship in the playoff, especially from this conference. So you won't hear that complaint this year if TCU and USC – handles business. Michigan handles business in their conference championship.
Josh from Bristol texts in, Shorter would be a great place for Josh.
It would be a great place for you, man.
Yeah, we're starting to get a group on that one. By the way, that's Josh on Josh Crime, which hurts a little bit. We're supposed to stand together. We'll come back. 1 hour to go here on Josh and Swain. 865-656-9900 to be a part of the show today. We are here off the Callahan Drive exit from I-75 at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.